Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Secrets. Today, we're going to look at You Never Do Bad by Doing Good. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, as we walk through this life, we have so many questions and so many lessons to learn. And we thank you that you walk with us and you walk before us, preparing the way. We thank you as we open the scriptures today, you will speak to us, to our minds, to our hearts, to our spirits, that God, you open the scriptures to us, and that we be open to your scriptures, that they may make us into the living image of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, today's subject is going to be You Never Do Bad by Doing Good. We're going to do a little series, and maybe a series of two. Who knows, it may end up being a series of one. Lessons Learned in the Wilderness. A young lady, good friend of mine, has a theological theory to which I think there is a great deal of validity, that all lessons are lessons from the wilderness, that we are always in the wilderness. And actually, the old saints used to sing that. It was really funny, unrelated to any of this, the old song that was going through my mind this last week was, I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. And it was like, I understand the camping. I understand him being Canaan, in Canaan's land. But that being happy as I'm camping in Canaan's land, it kind of took me a little while to meditate on this week. But whenever we are camping in the wilderness with God, it is a happy place. Anyway, so we're going to look at some lessons learned from the wilderness. And today we're looking at You Never Do Bad by Doing Good. For that, we're going to go to, of course, the book on it all, Genesis. Genesis chapter 13 tells the story of Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham, Abram and his son designee, Lot. Now, we know that it was Abraham's heart's desire to have a son, and he did not have a son. His brother, however, had a son and died, and the son had no father. That was Lot. So when God told Abraham to leave where he was, leave his father's house, he took with him his wife, of course, Sarah, but he also took with him his brother's son. And sometimes these things sort of make sense. He was a father without a son, and Lot was a son without a father, and they were uncle and nephew. And so it made sense for them to travel together and to be family. Anyway, but sometimes we looking for the simple, easy answer isn't always the right answer, as Sarah later found out with Hagar. It was within her rights to designate one of her handmaidens to bear a child, be a surrogate mother for her and Abraham. That didn't turn out so well. And we always blame Sarah, but see, Abraham did the same himself. He took Lot to be his son, and then when Lot left, he used one of his servants born in his house to be his heir. And then when that didn't work out, then Sarah came up with the Hagar idea and Ishmael. That didn't work out. So we a lot of times try to, and that's the trouble with prophecy. God tells us something is going to happen, and then we try to figure out how it's going to happen. Anyway, that aside. So chapter 13 tells the story about Abram and Lot traveling together. And we'll open up with the first verse. And Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys the south to Bethel. Okay, and he goes on and on and on. And we travel on down. Verse 5 says, and Lot also, which was with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So Abraham, even though we know he still was Abram at this point. Abraham was very rich, verse 2 says, was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And verse 5 tells us, and Lot also, which went with him, had flocks and herds and tents, meaning he had a great deal. But obviously Abraham more, he was rich with them. Lot just had plenty. Verse 6 says, and the land was not able to bear them that might dwell together, for their substance was great. So they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. It isn't a sign that there was strife between Lot and Abraham. And that's something to note, that a lot of times it's the things that follow us that cause the problem. Anyway, they come up with this plan. Verse 8, Abram says unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is it not the whole land before us to separate? I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt take the left hand. Anyway, so Abram says to Lot, look, let's not let this be the problem. Let's be proactive in the situation and come up with a solution. And Abram says to Lot, look, if you want to go right, I'll go left. If you want to go left, I'll go right. So he gave him the choice in this. And then, so we're all okay up until this. But now verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes. Ooh, the lifting up, not that God lifted him up, but he lifted up what? His eyes, his five senses, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was what? Well watered everywhere, okay, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the gardens of the Lord, like the land of Egypt that was coming to Zoar. Oh, the land was rich, it was well watered, it was beautiful, it was like a garden. Then verse 11 says, then Lot chose him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from the other. Okay, then Abraham, verse 12 said, dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Now, I can say Sodom and Gomorrah, and we all know that bad's coming, but of course at this point, Lot had no idea, neither actually did Abram. They just saw there were two places. There was the wilderness of Canaan, and there was the rich, lush, well-watered, sophisticated metropolitan area of the plain. And so Abram said to Lot, you choose, and Lot chose the better portion for himself. And then Abram took the other part. Verse 14 or 15, but as we know, Lot found out that the men who dwelt there were wicked and evil. Okay. Verse 14, and Lot said unto Abraham, now watch this phrase, after that Lot was separated from him. There are times you've been waiting for God to speak to you. It was funny, I was with somebody the other day, and just, you know, I went through a lot of different things with her. I'm, you know, not saying this is her answer, but say, just, I'll say crying, because she just, the Lord wasn't speaking, and the Lord wasn't speaking. Well, here's another little hint. It said, after Lot was separated, the Lord spoke to him. Sometimes there's something else in the way, and God just has to wait until those distractions are out of your way to speak to you. Now listen what the Lord says to Abram after that. Then we'll go back and talk about our chapter, because we're close enough to finishing up the chapter now. So after he was separated, now what he says, now remember what Lot did. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the land, right? But now in verse 14, the Lord said unto Abram after he was separated, lift up now thine eyes. See, Lot lifted up his eyes of his own choosing. Abram lifted up his eyes when the Lord told him. He said, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, which would, of course, also include the land where Lot went, didn't he? For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Why did the Lord not speak before? Because if Lot were with him, this would include Lot, and it would have gone to Lot. God had to wait till Lot was separated. Then he said to Abram, lift up your eyes, which is exactly what was in verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld the land he wanted. Abram says, or God said to Abram, lift up your eyes, for the land I give to you will I give it, and to thy seed forever. It's not just about Abraham. It was to who those two who were to follow Abraham. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Now, this is to a barren man. Remember, this is to a man without an offspring. So that that if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, it almost sounds like a cruel prophecy to somebody who has no heir. But he said, to thy seed will I give this. But it was after Lot was separated. Okay, so we kind of basically know the story. Most of us know what happens to Lot. And his wealth, he moves into Sodom, and great evil befalls the city. As we know, Abraham even begged the Lord if he could find however many righteous men. The Lord did not spare the city, but he spared Lot. Remember, he sent word to Lot, get up, go, take your wife, take your daughters, and run. And, of course, Lot's wife looked backwards and did not make it from there, did she? But Lot's daughters went with him. And you can read on in a chapter or two what happens to Lot's daughters. That becomes another grim story. We'll talk about it in a moment. But what I want to go back through and kind of trace down this, because it's you never do bad by doing good. Lot never did evil. He never undermined, contradicted Abraham. He did exactly what Abraham said. Abraham gave him a choice to be self-centered, to take what was good for him. He said, whatever you take, I'll take the other. And truly, Abram meant it. It's like whatever Lot wanted was okay with him. He gave him the preference that he would a son, didn't he? But just because somebody offers doesn't mean you have to take it. We're going to look at both of them individually. We're going to look at Lot, then we're going to look at Abram. Okay, so let's back it up. And we're talking, obviously, about destiny. Both of them were looking at it. There was a great deal of wealth. This was a very, very wealthy family. Okay. And, but the first thing I want to point out is, I kind of belabored it on the beginning of the chapter, how very wealthy Abraham was and how much abundance Lot had. But here's the difference. There is a difference in your destiny if what's on you and what's from you. In this country especially, I think that we a lot of times, well, not just this country, the whole world, that we associate whatever blessing that is on us as if it comes from us. There was a great anointing for abundance, for wealth, for the riches on Abraham. Now, Lot was with him, but it didn't, so it fell on Lot, but Lot deluded himself to believe that it came from him. There is a difference with the blessing on you and the blessing from you, if I can say it that way. What I mean by it is this. There are benefits and blessing and advantage. Let me use that word very clearly. The advantage when we are with somebody on whom is the hand of God. But do not delude ourselves, self-deceive ourselves, self-deception, that it comes from us. I saw this especially in America in the days of what we consider the great prosperity messages, that all blessing could be equated with money. That wasn't any different than what the world was preaching. But the world learned it differently when the stock market went kaboom. But Christian churches still kept teaching. Anyway, but there was a blessing riding a wave in this country. That doesn't mean it came from us, but that it was on us. That does not mean somebody who did not have that wealth was not as blessed or even more blessed. All it means is not being able to tell the difference. There's a great deal of zeal. There's a great deal of hope. There's a great deal of fervor when you're young. That isn't because it comes from you. That's just on you in youth. Okay? So sometimes when we're young, we ascribe something as coming from us when it truly is just on us. And this is, to me, an important designation, because we can then ascribe a virtue or a value to our doctrine based on what we see, making the false assumption that it comes from us. Lot saw, Abraham was a wealthy man. Lot saw himself becoming wealthy. He knew that there was a blessing in Abraham that produced this, and he falsely assumed that it was in him too, and that when he was separated, he would also produce this. We see that it was on him because he was with Abraham, but it didn't come from him. And that is often, you know, I may be belaboring this, but there is a difference between ambition versus promotion. God promotes us, but ambition can for a short term. I've seen it in ministry. People who promote themselves may for a short time produce a quality of ministry that others may envy. But the virtue of the ministry that's in us, that comes from us, is not what is on us. Amen. Let me just put it this way. Let me just move on. I think I beat that one to a pulp. Ambition is not a godly quality. Promotion is in God's hand. That's why I said, we'll go back to our title, you never do bad by doing good. There is the most deceptive television commercial on. I don't watch these that much, but I've been fascinated by this car commercial that starts out saying, do you want to be a good person? Yes. Do you want to be a moral person? Yes. Do you want to be an honorable person? Yes. And then it says, but is that enough? And then they lead you to believe, no, it's not. You want to be captain of the team. You want to be president of the company. You want to be father of the year. And it's all appealing to that ego of being first, of being the best, of being recognized. Oh, it won't surprise you that what they're trying to sell are Mercedes. As though somehow if you own a Mercedes, that makes you better, makes you smarter, makes you richer, more savvy, and all those things. And I keep coming up with, do you want to be good? Yes. Do you want to be virtuous? Yes. Do you want to be moral? Yes. That's good enough. Do you want to just be that? As though being good is not enough in itself. But as Lot and Abraham both learned, you never do bad by doing good. Okay. What I want to talk about, though, and for you to see is, it's not just what you think. As you look at your spiritual growth, as your spiritual doctrine, your theology, it's not just what you think, it's the way you think. I remember learning this a long time ago, sitting on a step, feeling like Jesus was sitting right beside me. Jesus was in the storm. They all have the thoughts of God. Remember in the wilderness, another wilderness lesson, maybe we'll go to that one too, when Jesus was taken into the wilderness, and at the end of his time of fasting and prayer, the devil came to him and tempted him. And the devil used scripture. Doesn't the scripture say blah, blah, blah? Doesn't the scripture say blah, blah, blah? So the scriptures are the thoughts of God. There's no question. They are the thoughts of God, but it is not enough to have the thoughts of God. You must also have the thinking of God, not just what God thinks, but the way God thinks. There's nothing wrong with promotion, but there is something wrong with the way we think about it, the way we acquire things. There's nothing wrong with possessions. There is in the way we acquire them. It's not just having the thoughts of God. We also have to have the thinking of God. All right, we beat that one. So now we're going to look at the two men. Where did they go wrong? Or Lot go wrong? Where did Abraham? What were the differences? And we're going to ascribe to each of them the number three. Three is the smallest complete number. It's not a matter of perfection. It's about completeness. I won't go into numbers here, but three is the smallest complete number. And it's game changer. Three is always a game changer. So we're going to look at Lot. Lot was given a choice by Abram. You can go left and I'll go right, or you can go right, I'll go left. He lifted up his own eyes and he saw. What did he see? He saw the riches. He saw the watered plains. He saw the grassy fields for his flocks. He saw the advantage of that. And he took it. Now, granted, Abraham had offered it to him. But here's the thing culturally, and we are not, unfortunately, have these things deeply embedded in our culture. We are of a culture that's like, you know, looking out for number one. Number one is never God. Number one is never somebody else. When we say looking out for number one, we mean ourselves. So that tells us something, doesn't it? But looking out for, Lot was looking out for himself, wasn't he? Now watch what this did. Besides just this issue, look at where his life ended up. He ran out. He left everything. He left with his wife and his daughters, and even his wife did not make it out. So he obviously had not built a marriage where the value between them was each other and their children. You can blame Lot's wife, but I'll also have to blame Lot. There are very few women who will cling to their things over their family if they are in a relationship, because that really fuels most women, is relationship. If they are in a rewarding relationship, they usually do not value things. The women I have seen over time, this is just my observation, who value things have been deprived of that relationship value. All right. So Lot and his daughters escape into the hills. And remember that Lot's daughters, and if you haven't read this, you need to read more. Anyway, Lot's daughters, look at what happens. Now, remember I told you that when Lot left, God spoke to Abraham. When God spoke to Abraham, he didn't really talk to him about Abraham. He talked to him about his seed. He talked to him about his progeny. He talked to him about his legacy, and he said how far-reaching his blessing would be. Look what happens to Lot's children. He had these daughters. They escape into the hills, and the daughters say to themselves, you know, to each other, look, we're stuck in the mountains here with this old man. There are never going to be any men find us, and we're going to be without children. So you got little children, listen, turn it off. They got their daddy drunk, and then they laid in turn, they took turns sleeping with their own father. This wasn't their father doing it to the daughters. This is the daughters doing it to the father so that they could become impregnated and have children. So his self-centeredness, second generation, did what? It produced incest. It produced self-centeredness to the nth, didn't it? Now, if you didn't know that, I hope that wasn't a spoiler. Anyway, but so let's get back to our title, You Never Do Bad by Doing Good. So what did Lot do that didn't do himself good? We say that Abram offered him the choice to pick the land he wanted to pick, right? This is our lesson in the wilderness. There were three ways in which Abram should have been given the choice to pick. He gave Lot the choice, but Lot could have. There's nothing to stop Lot from turning around and saying, Abram, I want you to pick. I will take whatever you leave. Number one, Abram was the elder, wasn't he? He was the elder. He should have gotten his choice from that culturally. Secondly, he was the father figure. Abram had taken Lot as a son, not as a hireling, not like, you know, Jacob with Laban. This was a son. So he should have said, Father, you take the preference. I'm young. I can bounce back with whatever. And then number three, Abram was the source of Lot's blessing. Now, that is, again, what we do by the tithe. I'm not so much a big stickler on it be the tenth. Well, it should be the first tenth if you're going to do that. As much as what you are doing is recognizing the source from which your flow, your blessing, your life is coming from. If it's coming from God, you acknowledge that, then it continues to flow. Any one of these was significant enough. Abram had been the source of the blessing for Lot. Lot could have said, Abram, you pick, and I'll take. And he would have then learned what Lot knew. The very blessing, the very anointing in Abraham, that Lot coveted, that Lot desired, probably would have transferred to him. If he had given Abram his choice, and either because he was a father figure, or because he was an elder, or because, and remember, you know, he'd come to save him a couple of times, he'd come to his rescue, or because of him being the source of his blessing, God would have honored that. Remember, even though they aren't written yet, the Ten Commandments, which says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first promise, the first commandment with promise. that still comes. When you honor your source, when you honor that, then there is a promise, there's a blessing that flows. So in all these ways, Lot had done, had been very ambitious, had been self-centered, had been mean, and I don't mean that in the nasty way, what it truly means to be mean, small, stingy. He had been squeezing the anointing, and whenever you squeeze it, you know, it's like a puppy. The more you chase it, the more it runs from you. The more you're just kind and quiet and gracious it comes to you. So three ways he should have preferred Abram to himself, regardless of what Abram said, was that he was the elder, that he was the father figure, and that he was the source. And because he had that mindset, his own daughters did that to him, and look at where they ended up. So Lot had risen quickly into an abundance and then gone back into not only anonymity, but ignominy. He had definitely fallen into disgrace, his whole lineage. But we don't want to end our message with that, do we? No. So we're going to look at Abram. You never do bad by doing good. Look at the good Abraham did. The good he did to Lot, saying, you choose. And these are the three things in Abram's favor. Number one, he gave away the option. You may even have the privilege. You don't have to fight for your portion. You don't have to fight for significance or, you know, I mean, even in work, there are times that I will give somebody, you choose. When do you want to be on call? You choose. I'll take whatever. It's okay with me. I'm all right. Whatever it is, even if there are times that it should go the other way, you give somebody else the choice. Don't go take the biggest piece of cake for yourself. Unless it's your birthday, then you're allowed. But other than on your birthday cake, let somebody else have the big piece. It will still do you good. Amen? So number one, he gave away the option. It was his option, but he didn't fight Lot over it. He just said, okay, fine. Here is the second thing that we realize. Lot chose what he thought was good because that plain looked to his eyes so rich with such abundance, while the mountainous areas, the drier areas, the less settled areas didn't look so good, did they? So, but the lusher, the more abundant area, the one that looked better that Lot chose, it may have looked better, but it had hidden traps. It had Sodom and Gomorrah in it, didn't it? It had a whole aspect of people who did not honor God, did not walk honorably or uprightly. And that's why sometimes we can fight for what we think is better for us, and we don't even realize that in that are hidden traps. Abram was gracious. He let Lot choose. He gave away the option. He also knew that just because it looks better doesn't mean it is better. Sometimes in that which doesn't look so good, there are hidden traps. In Africa, I saw a lot of young ladies just looking for who was the richer young man to marry so that life would be easier. But a lot of times there are things that came with it, a mindset of polygamy, a mindset of abuse, a mindset of misogyny that made their life sad and bitter. Sometimes you take the lesser and you get the greater. Then the third point for Abram is, number one, he gave away the option that he didn't have to. Number two, even though it looked good, there were hidden traps, and he didn't know that. It worked to his good, didn't it? The number three is he trusted God with his future. Lot was trusting Lot with his future. Lot was trying to figure out how it would be better for him. But at the end of the day, we realize we cannot be our own God. And that's the doctrinal battle, the theological battle that's the basis of all of the need for a Savior. No matter how much you earn or how hard you try or no matter how much you do this or do that, you cannot be your own God. Abram didn't try to trust himself, didn't try to trust like he just trusted God. God, whatever lot leaves me is good enough for me because you are in charge of my life. You hold the key to my future. You bring me through the wilderness into my destiny. Lot made three crucial errors, but Abraham made three great choices. Number one, he gave away that which belonged to him. You never do bad by doing good. Number two, he knew that there could have been hidden traps in there. You never do bad by doing good. And number three, he trusted God with his future. You never do bad by doing good. God has a way of turning the wilderness into a watered garden. That's why you can be happy camping in Canaan's happy land. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, give us the grace to learn these lessons from the wilderness. Give us the grace to be more concerned with doing good than doing good for ourselves. That you give us the grace to be more concerned with being a good child than being a good landlord. Thank you, Father God, that you help each of us learn those lessons from the wilderness, that we may deep in our heart bury the truth that as long as we try to do good, it will never turn out bad for us. And that even when we, that we will never do bad for ourselves as long as we try to do good for you and for others. In Jesus' name we pray. It was great being with you this week. Looking forward to being with you again next week. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's G-I-T-M Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him